If you have not been with us, we invite you to our series we started about two, 3 weeks ago called Supernatural. This whole series is really kind of fitting for this time of year. How many of you enjoy the fall? Yeah? Why? Tell me why. Why do you like the fall? Yell it out.
Change.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Color.
Colors. Temperature. Football. Redskins beat the Eagles today, right? We hope. Redemption. You know, it's hard for me to get over last year. A lot of you who were here as a church gave Branny and I a wonderful gift. You gave us tickets to a football game, to Redskins. Unfortunately, it was to Monday Night Football against the Eagles, and we were beat like 50-something to 10. And I had all kinds of beer poured on me, and it was amazing. So today is redemption, okay? So I'm really praying hard that the Redskins finally get payback, and so we'll see what happens. But anyways, there's all kinds of reasons to like the fall. How many of you get into the whole Halloween scene? You like dressing up? Yeah. Yeah, you're scary enough looking without a costume. But anyway, I love you, man. So, I mean, a lot of us, I mean, I growing up, I loved, my dad was a firefighter, and he worked on the crash rescue scene, so like on runways, and so he had this amazing, like, hazardous material, like, astronaut-looking huge suit. The gloves were cool because they only had, like, 3 fingers for some reason. Hector, why? Hector's a firefighter. Why 3 fingers? You don't know. Okay, so it was a cool design, and so when I finally got big enough, I actually got to wear that as a costume, won all the costume contests. And then last year, some of you saw the costume I got to wear last year. I love cool costumes. I am dreaming about owning an authentic Stormtrooper outfit one day, okay? I am dreaming, and I am hoping and praying that that will one day come true. Maybe that'll be a retirement gift or midlife crisis thing for me, okay? But Halloween also comes with a lot of other things. A lot of times, Christians are, you know, I think unfortunately some Christians have got the mindset that Halloween is an evil holiday. And so a lot of times churches have shied away from that holiday. But the truth is I believe that each holiday is an opportunity for us to redeem it, to own it, to teach the truth behind it, and to embrace our culture and our community and for the cause of Christ. So I'm excited about Halloween and what it's bringing. We're going to be doing some cool stuff on my block. If you don't live here and want to come trick-or-treat a really awesome street, Colonial Village Loop, like, we get slammed. And this year, we're stepping up. I mean, there's some cool stuff. Is Curtis here today? Curtis, I'm not going to give it away. You just have to see his house. It's amazing, okay? So he lives a few doors down from me. But anyways, it's going to be an amazing year. But a lot of times what also comes with this whole time of year is the spookiness, the thought of demons, ghosts, and things like that. And today we're going to be talking about, are demons real? Where are they? What do they do? And we're going to be getting into all that. The first week of our Supernatural series, we looked at, first of all, the realization that there is another realm. Biblically speaking, God is spirit, and there isn't just a good spirit, God being the omnipresent, all-powerful maker of heavens and earth and all that is, but there is a spiritual realm that he's created that's filled with angels. And we learned a few weeks ago that a third of the angels that were created rebelled against God, and they were cast to this earth, and they are now on this earth, and they're demons. And we're going to talk more specifically about them today. Last week, we looked at the Holy Spirit. Am I right? Okay, so first week was that there is a supernatural, there is a spiritual realm. We also talked a little bit about Satan. We'll be talking a little bit more about Satan today, kind of tying him into the demons. And last week, we talked about the importance and the power of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is the part of God that indwells the hearts of the children of God. If you are a believer in God, at that moment when you said, God, yes, I believe that you died on a cross for me, I open up my heart and surrender to you, come and live in me, it's the Holy Spirit that came and filled you and came to live in you. And we are called as Christians to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and be filled by the Spirit. And if you miss that, It will. We've had technical difficulties, but you can go back and catch those messages soon as we get our podcast situation figured out. If you miss those, you can go back and listen. So today we're on our third week, which is demons, and next week TJ will be teaching on angels, and we'll kind of conclude our supernatural series. So if you want notes, they're provided for you about every other chair. The side with the banner on top is kind of like a devotional sheet for you to take home for further study on your own. If you ever have questions about stuff on this sheet, please feel free to email me, and I'll do my best to try and clarify or to, you know, some of the questions are open-ended without an answer given. And if you're like, well, you know, I was looking for what that verse meant, but I'm not sure I got it, email me, and we can have more discussion through the week. On the other side is our notes for this morning. So if you like to take notes, those are there for you. All right, so let's get into this together this morning. For some reason, I'm missing my own sheet. So if I come to a blank and pause for a minute, it's because I'm recalling my memory of what that blank's supposed to be. So just bear with me. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into this. God, thank you so much for who you are and for your word. God, we thank you that you're not just a God that's far off and distant and removed, but God, you are one that's intimately involved in every detail in our life, and you left us your word so that we can learn more about you, so we can learn more about the things going on in our world, God, so that we can become mature followers of you. So God, be with us now as we look into passages from your scriptures, and be with us and develop an appetite in us so that on our own we go back to your word to dive in more and learn more about who you are. And be with us, God, now at this time. Give me the right words to say. In your name we pray. Amen. So I don't know what's happened to me. I don't have a cold, but all of a sudden I'm getting all clogged up. And I don't want to clear my throat with this microphone. So give me a second. All right. I think we're All right, we'll try it again. Sorry. Wow. Okay. Satan and demons. Let's just dive in and see what happens. Let me start by starting us off with a passage from the book of Mark, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Most of our scriptures this morning are going to be provided on the screen as well for you. Mark chapter 5 tells us this. Now, Jesus, Mark is one of the Gospels. And what I mean by that is Gospel means good news. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four books of the Bible that basically are Jesus' life. How he was born, how he grew up, how he spent 3 years of his life teaching those around him. And in this one encounter, Jesus confronts somebody who is demon-possessed. So, thank you, Kevin. So when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. You see, a lot of times in Scripture, we see that when demons are involved, we have a lot of supernatural stuff going on. And in this particular case, this gentleman had supernatural strength that came because he was possessed by a demon. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore through the chains. He tore them apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, the tombs and the hills, he would be there and he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. And what's interesting about that is that I know a lot of times, especially in the recent years, when I have met people who are struggling with internal pain, with self-esteem issues, with depression, I don't know where it came from, but I had a lot of youth all of a sudden that took up this habit of cutting themselves. Have you met someone or knew someone? Why? Why? It's because Satan and the demons have come to lie, to kill, and to destroy. And so they want to do everything they can to make us think bad about ourselves, to get us to harm ourselves. And here's what was going on with this gentleman even back then. He would cry out, and he would cut himself with stones. When Jesus saw this person from a distance, he ran, and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice. This is the young man doing the shouting, not Jesus. And the young man falling at his knees. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Right now, I want to point out that demons believe in God. That may sound weird, but they don't have faith and they don't put their trust in God. Does that make sense? The Bible tells us that even the demons believe and yet they tremble. This demon who was in this young man knew who he was in front of and literally was drawn to his knees and called out to him as the Son of God. Jesus, Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. If you continue on that passage, if you mark it down one day, you'll actually find out that these demons continued the conversation with Jesus, and they said, we are actually many, and our name is Legion. And Jesus casts these demons out of this young man, many of them. And they said, allow us to go somewhere else. So for some reason, there happened to be a herd of pigs nearby, and Jesus literally cast the demons out, and they went and possessed these pigs, and then they ran the pigs off the edge of the cliff, and they drowned. Weird story. Why pigs? Because there wasn't cats around. You know, I don't know. I don't have a clue. Yeah, some of you, that really offended you. Sorry, I don't like cats. So anyway, cats are of the devil, though. You know, it just is that way. Okay, let's move on. So Jesus encountered demons. And when demons were in Jesus' presence, they knew who Jesus was, and Jesus knew who they were. But who had the authority? Jesus. And Jesus always has the authority. A couple times through the last couple weeks, I've mentioned this passage from Scripture. He who is in us is greater than he who is in this world. So what is that all about? Well, let me kind of break it down for you. Where did Satan come from? Years ago, and I gave this summary, I think a week or two ago, ages ago, and we don't know exactly how long ago. There's a lot of different thought and theological discussion on how old the earth is. Of course, we have evolutionists telling us one thing. We have people who believe in creation and evolution who come up with a hybrid. And then we have creationists who are literalists who look at the Bible and they say, well, the Bible only accounts for maybe 6 to 10, at the most 15,000 years. It doesn't really matter how much time there is in this particular discussion. Thank you, TJ. What we do know is that the Bible teaches us that before we were created, physical, flesh, stone, trees, our planet, our solar system, there was a spiritual realm, and God made angels. Now, the Bible also tells us, and I've written a couple passages for you to go back. Some of you came back to me last time and said, where do we find that story? Isaiah 14, Revelations 12, and Ezekiel 28. Those are passages that kind of refer to some of what was going on. But basically, there was this angel named Lucifer, okay? He was probably one of the most beautiful of all the angels. And he was up in heaven with God. And all the angels were created to glorify God, to worship him. And they had different functions. Some of them were shaped differently and had different many arms and legs. There are different descriptions in the Bible of different kinds of angels. But what happened was the angels were created to bring glory to God, to fulfill God's will. But this one particular angel, Lucifer, didn't want to follow God's will anymore. He wanted his own will. And in Isaiah 14, five times he doesn't say, thy will be done. He says, my will. He says, I will do this. I will do. Let's just read it together. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 says this. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth. You once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise up my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So whenever we get to think that we can somehow be higher than God or be like God, that's the beginning of the end. And God couldn't have that. God looked at Lucifer and said, you're done. But it wasn't just Lucifer. A third of all the angels in heaven agreed that, wow, he is the most beautiful of all of us. We want to devote ourselves to following him. And they were cast out of heaven. Revelations 12, 7 through 9 shows us this. There was a war in heaven. Michael, another angel, an archangel, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent, the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So now we have Satan, not in hell in a far-off removed place, waiting for bad people to die so he can poke them with a pitchfork. Satan is alive and lives on this earth. He is eternal, but he is an angel, which means that he is confined and somewhat by... He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. Only God is. He cannot be all places at all times. He can only be in one particular region at a time. But he's got many minions, demons, the angels, to help carry out his work. How many of you ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Chronicles of Narnia, that series? Very popular, very well-known work from him. C.S. Lewis was a follower of God and wrote many other works about theology. A great book by him is called Mere Christianity. It just breaks down the basics of what Christianity is. But one of my favorites is called The Screwtape Letters. And it's a book between two demons, basically like a military strategy, kind of where a higher level demon is giving orders to a lower level demon and how to interact and mess up this world. And it's called The Screwtape Letters. It's fiction, but it gives kind of a good picture of how the Bible kind of shows us that demons interact on this world. So there are real demons on this earth. You might be sitting there saying, really? You believe that stuff? The truth is I do. And I debated whether or not telling you this because you might think I'm weird, but let's face it, a lot of you already think I'm weird, so let's just go there, okay? I was about 16 years old, and one night I was up late, and I was thinking on things I shouldn't be thinking on. And I went to bed late that night, and I had gotten in the habit through that phase of life of having my evening time be the time when I kind of spend time with God. I had recently lost my friend to suicide and felt like God was calling me to be a different kind of person. And so I, at night, would usually read some of the Bible together. I would pray with God, and this particular night, I was focused on the wrong things, nothing good. And I went to bed that night. And I remember having a dream that night. How many of you ever had a dream and you knew it was a dream? Even while you're dreaming, you were like consciously somehow aware, this is a dream, I'm going to wake up soon. Okay, well, how many of you have ever been a dream and you didn't know it was a dream? Well, this was that kind of dream for me. So I'm dreaming that night and I'm not aware it's a dream and a temptation comes up in that dream. But somehow, I had the awareness of realizing, one, I didn't know it was a dream, but I knew it was wrong, and I still wanted to even please God in my dream, so I walked away from the temptation. Well, as soon as I resisted the temptation in that dream, it was almost like I was watching a TV screen, and the sound continued, but the screen went black, like a malfunction. You know what I mean? It's like the program was still running, but you couldn't see it anymore. You could only hear it. And that's what happened. My dream went black, like no picture, but I could still hear the temptation taunting me. And then I all of a sudden went into that state of, okay, I'm dreaming, and I went to wake up. And I couldn't. And so I went to roll over in my bed, and while I'm asleep, and my dream going black, and I can still hear it, I was laying on my side, and I went to roll over, and instead of being able to roll over, I felt heat press me down to my bed and hold me, like pin me to my bed, and I couldn't move. I know you're like, weird. Okay, I even feel weird telling it, but I am telling you the honest to God truth. So I felt this pressure just pushing to my bed. I couldn't open my eyes. And I couldn't roll over. And the only thing that came to my mind was, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. In the middle of my ending my dream. And so I just remember, I don't know if it was spoken out loud, but I remember saying, in the name of Jesus, release me. And I was a 16-year-old. I don't even know where those words came from. You know, I was reading the Bible, but I wasn't like some demon slayer, you know? And all of a sudden, I was like released with pressure. Have you ever had a bunch of pressure pushing and all of a sudden it's released? And that's what I did. I just like, boom, and my hand hit the wall right next to me and put a little like dent in the sheetrock. And I'm just laying there like, what just happened? And it was the freakiest thing in the world. It was about 4, I looked at the clock, it was 4:19 in the morning. And I'm just laying there. And all of a sudden, I feel like there's something out my window. And I just started praying. You know, God, I'm sorry I've neglected you. I'm sorry I've, you know, not been following you the way I know I should. And I just pray, God, that you protect me. And demons are real. Now, one day I'm going to get to heaven and he's going to, oh, that was just some kind of night terror, weird psychological thing you went through. But it could have been a demon. I do believe that demons are real. And I do believe that based on Scripture that even Christians can be oppressed by demons. We're going to get into the difference between oppression and possession in a few minutes. But I do believe that we as Christians will be oppressed at times. Demons will try to interfere in our life to keep us distracted, to keep us discouraged, and to not let us fulfill the things of God. Demons are real. They're in this world. What do they do? Let's look at some of the things they do. First of all, Scripture points out that demons are here to influence the leaders of nations. Daniel chapter 10, I referred to this a couple weeks ago. The book of Daniel is basically the story of how the Israelites were taken captive by the Babylonians. And this king Nebuchadnezzar, there's this huge spiritual battle going on. If you read from the first chapter of Daniel on through the end, he's like in this tug of war between realizing and seeing how God is working in Daniel and his friends. And he even comes to the point of seeing God save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And he even makes a declaration, their God is the God Most High. But then we see him fall back to his own ways. And whenever you see a king like that, in that kind of prominent position, you have to know that since angels can only be in certain places at certain times, they've got to go for the most strategic spots. And so we see in the book of Daniel that there's one particular demon that's over this area of Persia where he is sent there to keep the work of God from happening in this particular area. Let's read it together. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince, now they have like hierarchy and some demons are called princes, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. This is an angel talking, a messenger of God, and he's talking to Daniel. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, remember we heard about Michael a little bit ago? One of the archangels came, a stronger, tougher angel. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia. So we have this Persian entity, this demon, over this area holding back a messenger of God. Daniel had prayed, God, I need your help. God had sent a messenger angel to help in that situation, and this demon resisted him and held him back until he was freed by another angel. Demons are here to change, try to do everything they can to make things terrible here on earth. You think of the Holocaust. You think of a genocide. You think of evil rulers who have lived throughout history. They have influence. Now, some of them are just, you know, evil comes from outside of us, but some of us are just born evil as well. But you can bet that if once we get a full picture of the spiritual realm one day when we're in heaven, I'm without a shadow of a doubt sure that we're going to see certain angels working certain things to make these kind of things happen in this earth. Demons are here to influence the leaders of nations. Number two, demons desire to inflict suffering on you. This one particular situation, Jesus was encountered a family. This gentleman came up to Jesus and he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has had seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water." And Jesus said this, "Bring the boy here to me." Now, many times, I'll pause there, many times Jesus was in situations where there were people who had just mental disorders or were crippled or blind, and he healed. But in this particular case, he doesn't go and try to find out if this boy has epilepsy. He immediately knows the problem and addresses it. And look what he says. Jesus all of a sudden was aware this wasn't some physical problem, some mental problem. Jesus saw there was a demon in this one. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and the boy was what? Healed from that moment. Demons are here to bring physical pain, to bring torture and suffering upon us. The book of Job, it is actually the oldest book in the Bible. A lot of us think Genesis is because it's the first book, but Job is actually the oldest book written. The book of Job is a story about a man who lived wholeheartedly for God and really upset Satan that he was so holy. And so Satan literally goes to God, goes to the presence of God, and says, "Job is only as good as he is because you have your hand of protection on him. Let me have at him, and I promise you he'll turn his back on you." And so God gave permission for Satan to mess with Job. Sounds a little weird, sounds a little harsh, but the truth is there are times when God will allow us to face the enemy for his own purpose. Sometimes it's to make us stronger. How many of you play football or some kind of sport where you get beat up before the real game? You know, the coach lets you get beat up at times so that when the real test comes, you'll be able to stand strong. And so at times, God will allow us to be tested, to allow us to be even tempted at times. God doesn't tempt, but he allows us to go through certain situations where our character can be strengthened. And so God gives permission for Satan to mess with Job. And Job comes in, and he keeps trying to go after, I mean, Satan comes in and he goes after Job. He goes after Job's livestock, his property, his own health. And never does Job turn his back on God. We don't have time. It's a long book, but it's a good book. If you ever want to wonder why they're suffering in the world, it's a good book to read. So they're here to inflict suffering on us. The third one, demons scheme to lure you away from God. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith. They will follow deceiving spirits and things," what? "Taught by demons." Now, there are a lot of good things out there in this world. I use this illustration a lot. I don't know why it's not even a great one. But imagine this was a hallway, okay? And at every aisle there was a door, okay? And say the end door here, the end here is a door that says Jesus Christ on it. And this hallway represents life. Now there are demons and angels in this hallway battling to direct us the right way. The angels are trying to keep us on track. The demons are trying to pull us. And the demons aren't always disguised in bad stuff. It isn't like this door over here is, you know, witchcraft and demon worship. And that would be easy for me to say no to, okay? Some doors are going to be materialism, big screen TVs and fast cars, okay? Some will be, don't take this wrong, it just crossed in my mind, some will be Boy Scouts, and they don't want you involved in anything else but Boy Scouts. That was not meant for you, Conleys. They are in the Scouts, okay? That's weird. So anyway, the doors will have a variety of different things. Some will be bad. Some will be really good. The demons don't care what door you go through as long as they keep you out of that last one. And so they're here to do everything they can. You don't need to follow God. Just be a good deed doer. You know, you don't need to believe in Jesus. There are tons of ways to enlightenment. You know, you don't have to just follow the God of the Bible. There's all kinds of ways. That was the ultimate one at the beginning. When Satan was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, he was like, don't you want to be just like God? Then follow me. I'll show you how. Satan and demons aren't just about looking scary and doing evil. Sometimes they'll lure us away with good things. And so we need to do all we can to stay on track so that we're not deceived. And in a big way, I was up till about 2 o'clock last night because of homecoming. I know it was over at midnight, but then there was a sleepover at my house for some reason, and I had to drive all the girls to all their houses. Hey, girls, don't feel bad. I like doing it, okay, if you're in here. But I was up till 2 last night because of that. But the night before, I was up to 2 because I got a text at about midnight from a friend of mine who said, I'm about to blow my brains out. Help me. And the whole time I was on the phone with him, I just felt like he was being, or has been being, led by demons just to totally walk away from his faith. We grew up in youth group together. We went to Liberty together. He's been blessed. He's made like $11 million in the last few years by being like the number 2 guy in real estate in Colorado. He's been like blessed from all different, and now his whole world is just crashing down around him. And I believe he's just being attacked. And so I just spent about 2 hours just quoting scripture to him, praying for him, and just trying to help him to not be deceived, and some of the things that he was saying, I was like, where'd you learn that? He was like, well, I'm going to this one church where they taught that all paths really lead to God. And in some ways, love makes sense that way. And I'm like, that sounds good, but it's not truth. And he just one step at a time has been led away from God, which all like seemed warm and fuzzy, love everyone. And now everything around him, he's questioning his self-esteem. He's questioning his own identity, his own sexuality. It's just every attack that could come at him since he's gotten off the protection of God. The demons are now coming like piranhas and just attacking him from all sides. Demons are going to do everything they can to lure us away from truth, so that they can have their way at lying to us, at killing us, and destroying us. The next thing, demons want to paralyze us with fear. You know, they'll start by getting you to become worried about your finances, to begin to doubt your spouse's faithfulness, to begin to worry about whether or not you're going to be passed over in that next promotion, how you're going to make bills ends meet this month. And it starts with just little seeds of doubt and things that bring anxiety. And before you know it, you're not taking these things and to God. Yeah, sometimes there are real things that need to be addressed, but sometimes it's just festering worries and fear and doubt that brew up and the demons twist them. You know, take things into your own hands. Try and do it this way instead of that way. Oh, you can cheat there a little bit. No one will notice. You don't have to pay that, you know, no one's watching. And they just work their way in, and they work with fear. You know, if I don't do it this month, God really knows my heart, and I'll do it next month. And so instead of taking steps of faith, we respond out of fear. 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." But the truth is that power, that word power again that we've heard a couple times, it's a supernatural power that comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we can't expect God to be able to give us what we need if we're constantly walking away from God and making our own choices. As we walk with God in His Spirit, we become able to think with the sound mind. We become able and enabled to love even the most unlovable of in the most unlovable circumstances. When we walk by the Spirit, we can fulfill the fruits of the Spirit. But as the demons lure us away one step at a time, it becomes harder to walk the right way. Something else I wanted to say before we went on. Oh, possession and oppression. I didn't put it in the notes. The Bible does talk about, we read a couple examples of how demons could literally inhabit the bodies of individuals, of animals, and take control over them. I've never seen it happen, but people I know and respect have told me they've encountered weird circumstances where things just didn't seem right. My pastor, when I was growing up, said he was in a room once where this woman came to the church to try and tempt my pastor, and he was there with another. It was a prayer meeting going on midweek, and this woman, as soon as she came in the building, it's like her whole demeanor changed, and they tried to ask her to leave, and she, like, one of the guys that was there said she, like, picked him up and threw him, and this was, like, a small woman, and I didn't see it happen, but my pastor doesn't make up weird stories, and so, you know, this can happen. Demons can come in and embody the hearts of people who are not of Christ. That's the key thing, is that if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And where the Holy Spirit lives, a demon cannot come in and enter. But they can oppress you. That night, I was in bed. I was a believer of God. The Holy Spirit lived in me. But at the same time, there were demons trying to get me to walk away from God, trying to get me to lust, to be tempted, and they were oppressing me. Do you see the difference? We can be interfered with, but he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and we can't be possessed if we are a believer in Christ. I know that can sound weird, and so if any of you will have questions about that, we can talk more about that offline. But the truth is that if you are a believer of Christ, and you have surrendered your life to Christ, Jesus lives in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and Satan cannot enter you, his demons cannot enter you.